Hello and welcome to episode number 31 of Light the Eye, presented by the U of I Credit Union. I'm Scott Beatty.
And I am Robert Rosenthal.
No time for jokes.
No.
This is serious business. Illinois men's basketball in the NCAA tournament. First round, a win over Penn, 105-70.
Big win.
We got to break it down because the second round is coming quick.
Yeah.
No time for dilly-dallying. No small talk about nice weather.
No, nothing. This is serious time. This is it.
Here we go. What do we do?
I think we'll start with Light the Eye and then we'll go.
If yesterday's ball game was a November game where Illinois invited Penn into the State Farm Center, it'd be like, well, look pretty good. On to the next.
Yep.
But this is a win or go home type of situation. So it requires some reflection.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we'll get to the second half in a bit, which was just incredible offensive statistics. But I think the biggest takeaway for me is, okay, what happened in the game before? With 14 minutes left, North Carolina led VCU by 19 and then let it all slip away and lost in overtime. What's the Illinois story this season? 23 points at UCLA, 12-point lead over Wisconsin at home, 15-point lead over Wisconsin in the Big Ten tournament in the second half, all these stories. So that's in the back of everybody's mind. So knowing that VCU North Carolina stat, care to guess what the Illinois lead was with 14 minutes left?
I feel like it was maybe 10.
It was exactly 19.
Oh, it was already that big?
Yes. It was.
I remember it being around 14 with 11 minutes to go.
So yeah, they cut it to 9 at one point.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and like cut it inside what the halftime deficit was. I think that was right around the time of the first TV timeout, something like that. But then Illinois went on a little run, and you felt a little better. But that was the number from the previous game, right? 19 points with 14 minutes left. And I think all Illinois fans were thinking that of like, no, please no. Don't give these national sports writers the narrative of both teams in Greenville on Thursday night had these 19-point leads with 14 minutes left. Well, what did Illinois do? Push the lead out to 40, you know, after in those final 14 minutes. You know, they ended up winning by 35, but at one point they got it to 40. And so that was a big deal to have that moment in the beginning of the second half. Penn hit a couple shots. It was a 9-point game, still in doubt, and then hit the accelerator, and I mean really hit the accelerator and win by 35. Big moment.
Look, anytime A.J. Redd gets in a ball game, it's a good day for Illinois.
Yes.
I mean, there's a couple of guys where if they get in the game, it could be really good or really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because, all right, not coming back. Let's make sure the third or fourth guard gets in, but Brad got to use his entire bench.
Yep.
And I think for Illinois, we've talked before about analytically final when a game is analytically final.
Yes.
And as I tweeted, like, Illinois can just call it A.J. Redd.
Yes.
That's right. When it's analytically final.
Yes.
Analytically final meaning statistically no team ever comes back from that deficit at that point in the game.
Yes. Yes.
And I don't know. Well, we now know at least 19 points, in, you know,
yes,
is not analytically final at whatever point UNC led.
Yes.
But does this. Okay. Couple of things.
Yep.
Does this. Is there some lament on your part? Because already chapter two of Robert's revenge tour is not according to script, because you did get Brad beats Fran,
mm-hmm.
even though I don't think Brad had any vengeance to take out on Fran.
And they're really good friends.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But chapter two is supposed to be Illinois beats UNC. Well, that can't happen now.
Yeah.
Are you like, well, I guess we get to play VCU.
Yes. Oh, no, not the 11 seed, just like 2024. Yeah, I mean, look, I was happy VCU won. I could set my narratives aside immediately if it means something better for Illinois basketball. So, yeah, it was a little like I would have loved to, you know, 2005 will forever stick with me. I was in the dome in St. Louis, and, you know, I can picture that Luther Head three rimming out and everything. And, you know, it's still this massive, massive thing to me. But I can live with playing a team you can beat a little better.
Let me help you. The VCU's team name is the Rams.
Okay.
There was a football team that was in St. Louis called the Rams, but
so beating them is like beating Stan Kroenke?
Yeah,
is that what you're telling
me? Their diabolical owner took them to Los Angeles from you.
Okay, I'm back in. We have our narrative, folks. We are back, baby.
Way back in the day, VCU had Shaka Smart, and he was going to come to Illinois, right? That's what everyone believed, but mm-hmm. then he didn't, and he went.
Yes.
So there you go.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I remember those
Phil
days.
Phil Martelli Jr., though. That's the thing that concerns me.
Before we get to that, I want to go back to the Shaka moment. That was such an interesting coaching search because that was, you know, internet rumors were big. Social media was fairly new-ish in the spring of 2012. Like, it wasn't what it is today, and there were so many Shaka Smart rumors of like, oh, he's meeting with Mike Thomas right now. I hear they're holed up in a hotel somewhere and they're negotiating the contract. And all these stories were out there.
No, a realtor was showing Mrs. Smart homes in Mahomet.
Uh-huh.
None of that.
Yes, none of that. Yes. And all of that was being discussed and going back and forth. And then some VCU reporter was at a spring just like a AAU tournament, like the Friday afternoon first round games of the AAU tournament, and had just tweeted like, hey, Shaka Smart is here looking at such and such player in his VCU gear or whatever. And then it was like, you know, I found that. I just put it out there of like this. And it was the first sign that Twitter could be like, you know, just some guy with 81 followers just randomly tweeting, hey, Shaka Smart's at this tournament recruiting for VCU, when there were all these like reporters reporting that Smart was in negotiations at Illinois and in a hotel room somewhere with this and that. It was kind of the power of social media for the first time of like, no. And if you remember, it also happened with Brad Stevens, that there were all these reports that Brad Stevens was negotiating with Illinois and all this stuff. And Indianapolis reporter went to his house and just tweeted how he was like fishing with his kid all afternoon, but had to come home early because there was a thunderstorm. Like all these like big, like, hey, we can just put stuff on social media and this and that. And like, no, he's in a park fishing with his kid. He's in no way negotiating for the Illinois job. Social media can be blow us up a story that doesn't exist, and it can be just limited with one little thing of like, actually, Shaka Smart's at this tournament in Northern Virginia right now. So, yeah, I don't think it's going to happen in Illinois.
Thankfully, social media no longer is used to perpetuate false information.
Absolutely. We've gotten to such a mature moment with it all,
yeah,
that everybody checks themselves before they hit send.
105-70, which for you, we all know is another like, well, I'm happy, comma, but.
Yes.
Because that was 1 point away from
10x, 6x, yeah, instead of 10x, 7x.
Is there a term for that? Points. Is that a Robert Wynn?
It's my term for it, and it's the X and the X.
Okay.
So it's 9x, 5x, or it's 10x, 6x, yeah, or whatever.
Because 35, if 1 point less for them, could have been 36, but looked like 40 in your mind.
Essentially 10 points on that final free,
yeah,
throw. Yes.
And yes. Illinois had not permitted them to, well, not permitted. They hadn't made a free throw.
Yes. Yes.
The old free throw defense was really strong for Illinois yesterday.
Yes.
And if Penn had not made a free throw, they would have been the first tournament team to not do so, since Illinois didn't make a free throw in a game back in the 80s.
86, yes. Yes, it was, yeah, kept one streak alive and killed my... It's so funny to me. So, again, my little 10X, 7X, it doesn't matter. Who cares, you know? But when you start following it of like, okay, are we going to finish with a number in the 10s and they're going to finish with a number in the 6s? Then when you have a scenario like, okay, I'm watching the VC or BCU, I'm watching the Penn player bring the ball up the court. I'm only thinking, don't shoot a three. There's like 9 seconds left. As long as he dribbles inside the 3-point line, I'm getting my 10X, 6X. He dribbles inside the 3-point line, and now I'm just staring at the TV like, do not foul him. Give him a free layup, and then we'll inbound the ball, dribble it out. It'll be 105-69, 10X, 6X. And we foul him, he makes it, and hits the free throw. So when you do this, again, the game's over, none of it matters, and I'm like screaming no at my television and waking up the dogs because, like... You know, the only thing that could happen in that situation is an and one. And what do we give them? An and one. So it just makes the end of blowouts fun for me.
Well, now that we've covered the most important aspects of the win.
Yes.
For Illinois,
I mean, people are tuning in to be like, how did Robert feel about the final score?
Yeah.
And the optics of it.
But I also think we should make a footnote observation about David Mirkovich and Keaton Wagler being star freshman again for Illinois. And going back to an earlier conversation we had on this program, it's just remarkable that if Illinois is going to make a deep run, whatever you define as deep, mm-hmm. which we all agree is getting past the next round, but if they're going to make a deep run, they're going to do it again on the shoulders, not entirely, but the shoulders of two outstanding first-year players.
Yep.
In a consensus second team All-American. We didn't talk about this last one, but Keaton Wagler is going to get his jersey in the rafters.
Yes.
At State Farm Center.
Yes.
Whether he stays or goes, he's getting his jersey up.
Mm-hmm.
And David Mirkovich was, I mean, they were both for a minute there. You're like, are these guys going to get triple doubles
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
in a tournament game?
Mm-hmm.
Like Marcus Damask did?
Mm-hmm.
Like old man Damask did a couple years ago?
I mean, 29-17 in an NCAA tournament game is outrageous.
Rebounding record for Illinois
yeah.
in a tournament game.
And, you know, how great is it you got Charles Barkley at halftime talking about it. You know, like that's the best part of these tournament games when, you know, the spotlight shines. But, yeah, I mean, Keaton has established himself as the greatest freshman in Illini history. That debate is over when he's second team All-American. No one ever made it to that.
The level. Greatest freshman season, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Single greatest freshman season in the history of the program. And Merck is top 10? Top 8? Like, you know, it's I would have to sit down. I listed some of them yesterday.
I mean, statistically, Kofi was so dominant.
Yes, yes. I would
but
say it
Merck
was
is,
Kofi before this.
Yeah, but Merck has more versatility.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not a criticism of Kofi.
Yeah, but he could shoot out the three. Yep.
Yeah. He can even dribble.
Yeah, yeah. It's. I mean, if
Run.
You look at Big Ten Freshman of the Year, Corey Bradford in 99, Brian Cook in 2000, DJ Richardson in 2012, which no one remembers, or 2010.
Kofi.
And then Kofi and Wagler. I think that's it on actual named freshman of the year. And yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Wagler had the best season of any of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would say Merck comes in close to some of those, you know, not too far away. You know, Bruce Douglas was really good as a freshman. Derek Harper was good as a freshman. Look, freshmen could only play since 1972, so we're talking, you know, 52-53 years here. So, you know, maybe you could have said it was Johnny Red Kerr if he could have played as a freshman,
sure,
you know, 75 years ago or whatever. But yeah, we're talking about two of the 15 best freshman seasons, including the top one in team history.
Well, what do you think about VCU? They have good guard play, but who doesn't in the tournament? They do not have Illinois' size. So I remember in 24, it was, oh, Duquesne won. That's good, right? Now we're going to face the 11 seed. And and then there was the, well, hang on. They won their first round.
Yeah.
VCU's confidence was what struck me. I know that's a simplistic take because there's X's and O's to break down, but there is a building narrative about mid-majors. We're still here. Mm-hmm. And just because we're mid doesn't mean we can't win.
Yep.
And I would say VCU is a more prominent program than Duquesne, with all due respect.
Agreed. You have a stopwatch on that watch there?
Yeah, if I think about it.
Why? Or you just want... set a clock.
Okay.
I'm going to see if I can do this under 5 minutes.
Oh, gosh.
But I don't know if I can. But let's put a governor on here, and let's say I only get 5 minutes to talk about this.
Okay, then after you're done talking about this, I have a hypothetical for you that I think will be interesting.
Okay.
And that's how we'll finish this.
Tell me when we're starting.
And go.
The reason I am not concerned about this game tomorrow is because of the offensive performance in the second half last night, which was, hold on, I'm going to look right into the camera, which was the single greatest offensive half in the history of the NCAA tournament. I'm going to say it again. It was the single greatest offensive performance in the history of the NCAA tournament.
Kind of buried the lead here, didn't we?
And you cannot say, yes, no kidding.
In the scope of this podcast.
Yes, 100%. You cannot say that, it was just Penn, because in the NCAA tournament, ones play 16s every year and twos play 15s. Everybody gets those freebie games, and you're playing a team that you are far, far better than. So this, it's not like it's the first time a 3 played a 14 and was favored by 25. This is how these things go. But I just want to go through possessions real quick and talk about why it was so impressive. Okay, so first off, since they started tracking points per possession, the actual, like, every game is tracked in points per possession. This game overall, with Illinois' 1.55 points per possession, is the third best overall performance for the whole game in NCAA history. It was in a tweet. I can't remember what the other two games are. I think the last one was in 2016. But it's in those terms, this is the third best offensive performance in a game, start to finish, in history. The points per possession in the second half, I just need to emphasize this to people, was 1.97 points per possession. Okay? If there were a basketball game where the other team were down to one player and every possession was just go down and make a layup, that would be 2.0 points per possession. Illinois yesterday had 1.97 points per possession in the second half.
They had the equivalent of a layup line.
Exactly.
Even though they used a lot of threes.
The way to get to that number is several things. A, you have to hit some threes. So obviously when you miss a shot, it's kind of balanced out by 3 points in that next possession kind of thing. B, you have to rebound a ton of offensive rebounds, because that's how you know, it's not a possession change yet. You could shoot 25% on a possession, and if you got 3 offensive rebounds and made the fourth shot, that's a perfect possession because you scored before you gave them the ball back. And 3, you cannot turn it over. When I tweeted this last night, some people said, like, oh, what about that game in the national title game, Villanova Georgetown in 1985? I looked it up. Villanova famously shot 79% in the entire game. They were 22 for 28 in the entire game. They missed 6 shots, first, second half, and this and that. However, they turned it over 17 times. And there's no difference between a turnover, and when we're talking possessions here, a turnover is basically a missed shot. You know, you've gave it back to them without them, you know, you didn't score and they get the next possession to try to score on their end. So, you know, with that, I think it was like that game for Villanova was like 1.2 points per possession, something like this. 1.97 points per possession, scoring on 28 of 33 possessions, only 5 empty possessions the entire half, is outrageous. It's probably up there in terms of, you know, again, you have to have, they had 0 turnovers in the second half. They had, I don't know what the second half offensive rebounds, they had 20 offensive rebounds in the game. Let's note that Penn had 19 defensive rebounds. So Illinois rebounded more of their missed shots than their opponent did, which is insane. And you came up with what was, you know, when you have 1.97, you have a layup line, you are scoring every possession down the court. And so that is, without question, why I am so encouraged about not only this weekend, but the next. Because if they can keep up that level 30. Of efficiency, they are very hard to beat. Where are we at?
You have 25 seconds to spare.
This 25 seconds, I'd like to talk about our sponsor.
Actually, U of I Credit Union.
Yes, U of I Credit Union. Let's see if we can get this in the shot. It gets a little too... Oh, there we go. See that? Anybody notice that? When we are on the air right there, that's our little magnet for U of I Credit Union. We are only here because of them. Thank you to Chris and everyone over there. They make this possible.
Please don't forget to like and subscribe.
There. Yep.
Okay. Good job. It's, you know what? I got through that whole thing. I promise you, I multitasked a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. To pay your taxes.
I texted with my wife. Mm-hmm. We got some birthday party plans for the weekend for our daughter.
Sure.
And the neighbor's dog needs walking.
Believe me, the listeners did the same.
No. I mean, I was listening the whole time because 1.975 is absolutely incredible. In a tournament game. Again, if this was November 13th, 2025, and Illinois had invited Penn in for a game, we'd all be like, wow, this offense is really good. And, you know, that was pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it carries over the rest of the season. But when you put it into the first round of an NCAA tournament game where the stakes are the highest for mm-hmm. everybody involved.
Yes. I want to – you saying that made me think of one other thing. It's very important that people understand limiting possessions as well, at least to me. You may have noticed, like, there are times when Illinois, if nobody is back, Wagler will let the ball roll almost to half court. Why is he doing that? Because the clock is running, but the shot clock hasn't started yet. And if you let the ball roll there, you're running off 10 more seconds, and you're lowering the number of possessions in the game. So the entire theme, if people want to know why Illinois has the number one offense, it is found in that possessions number. They are obsessed with possessions. Like, immediately after I tweeted it last night, some guy came out and he's like, oh, well, look, SLU just scored 102. They got to be close. I'm like, they were nowhere. They were 1.2 points per possession.
Which is good.
Which is great.
Anything north of one.
Yes.
You should be happy with.
They had a great game. They scored 102 points, but they also had 38 possessions in the first half and 39 in the second half. They scored 24, 39, and 23 of 38, and that's really good. It's not 28 of 33. The point is to lower that 33 and raise that 28, and that's how you choke teams out. Because if you're being that efficient with offensive rebounds on your end, and you're limiting the number of possessions, you're going deep into possessions. Illinois is like 200-something in tempo. If you are lowering that number and this and that, you're choking out any opponent. It's really hard to beat a team that does that because they have to match those numbers per possession, and it's really hard to do. So that's what's so encouraging. Like, play like this, really hard for any team to beat Illinois.
The TNT crew, which is, by the way, the lead crew for the Final Four, Ian Eagle, Grant Hill, and Bill Raftery, and Tracy Wilson, they'll be doing the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
They were just glowing and gushing over Illinois' offensive rebounding,
mm-hmm.
and I was chuckling, not because they're a great broadcasting crew, but I was just chuckling, like, yeah, that's the game. That's been their game the whole year.
Yes, yes.
And once you see it in action, they go, oh. And they were noting it's an NBA style, and Grant Hill. Grant Hill himself was watching, the big men take threes, and he goes, you know, we got 7-footers sidestepping to take threes.
Yes, Yes.
I think that might, yeah.
It was, it just, was when Big Z, like with like 3 minutes left, did the, and honestly, he missed it. And that, or wait, is that the one he made? He missed one and it was, and they got the rebound. It was like, oh my gosh, an empty possession. We haven't seen that in 10 minutes, you know, kind of thing. Like one shot. What is that crap? You know, it's crazy.
All right. I got a final thing to toss your way.
Okay.
This is kind of in the vein of you saying, I think I could go long jump 10 feet right now.
Okay. I love it.
But an interesting thing to posit that came from a listener viewer of ours.
Mm-hmm.
How long could you or me be on the court for, they used Michigan just because they picked a number one team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's just use Michigan. Michigan played Howard yesterday at 1 versus 16.
Mm-hmm.
How long could you be on the court for Michigan? You want to use Illinois so I don't. Okay.
So I don't have to think about,
because you were just like, I would just sabotage Michigan.
Yes, yes.
Okay. How long could you be on the court for Illinois in that game yesterday without Illinois losing? How many minutes could you be on the court an Illinois uniform?
35 point win.
I know.
That's a great hypothetical.
Like, I could, I think it's, basketball is, on the spectrum of sports you can play in your older years,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not golf. Golf you can play forever, theoretically,
mm-hmm.
right? But basketball's like, I could stand out there and pass the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I got the ball. Okay, here, Keaton, there you go. You know, I think on offense, but then they would just go double somebody. But eventually, like, maybe they would leave me alone,
mm-hmm.
and I might be able to hit a shot
mm-hmm.
or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I almost think maybe offensively they could kind of work around it for a minute or two.
But defensively they would switch until the guy with the ball is you and they're scoring every time, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. There's just no...
Mm-hmm.
So, clearly I'm not a help out there, right? And I was... some people who, you know, were skilled in basketball in their life,
mm-hmm.
I was not. I played... When I was a kid, I played organized basketball and
mm-hmm.
played pickup ball, but you know what I mean? So, 5 minutes. What if you had to be on the court for 5 minutes?
Scott, for last night, I'm going to give you 8 minutes on the court and Illinois still wins. So here's the good thing. In this offense, you know, it's spread people out. You got guys in the corners. You're obviously going to be camped in the corner, Jake Davis style, okay?
For offense.
Yes, on offense. Then they're going to sag off of you because they don't think you can hit a three. So they're going to use the guy who's supposed to be on you to sag toward the lane and double somebody or whatever.
Like, there was a time in my life where maybe I could hit a three or two, but if, mm-hmm. right now,
mm-hmm.
if you gave me a corner three, if I took 10 of them, I might make one.
Okay, but if that one is the first one, then your opponent is going to have to pay attention. They can't just leave you alone there in the corner because you're a tiny bit of a threat.
But don't you think Penn is going to be scoring 1.9 points per possession the other way while I'm on the floor?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, you do have shot blockers, so that helps you. So, again, they're going to come down. They're going to identify you as the guy to go after.
I got fouls to give.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, there goes the free throw thing, but anyway.
Right, but we didn't foul much. They were never in the single bonus, so you could have used some of those fouls. Just to stave off the inevitable kind of thing. And again, they're gonna set it up so that they do some ball screens, and now they set up their main ball handler against you, and they're gonna let him, you know, clear out and let him Marcus Damask you. If you do slap, you get some good fouls in, or you just kind of funnel things to Z or something like that, or just like sag way off and make them try to make long shots. I think you could get 8 minutes out on the court without doing terrible, terrible damage.
8 minutes, and Illinois still wins tomorrow.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, it's different. Like, if it was golf, it's like, mm-hmm. well, could Illinois men's golf or women's golf, for that matter, win a tournament? Or
well, they have a drop score. So
exactly.
They just drop your score.
As long as the other five are always, you know, well, they're going to be the other five that count. As long as they all have good games.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good rounds.
Mm-hmm. This is good. Like, we could go through, like track. If I'm doing the long jump, that's not that bad of a, right? Right?
Wait, I mean, 10 feet?
Exactly. I mean, I finished last.
Yeah, as long as Sophia Beckman is still competing, yeah, I think we're okay.
Yes. You can hide me. Volleyball. Like, I'm a liability out there because they're just serving to me every single time.
Yeah.
I think...
You get subs. But yeah, no, you have to be on the court. That's the whole thing, yeah.
Here's where I want to compete. I'm going to be on the tennis team. And
no
I'm
shy.
Only going to play doubles. Okay? Because I can serve and I can volley. Ground strokes, I'm a mess anymore. But I can still serve and I can still volley. And in doubles, you can get away with, like, you only have to return a serve on, you know, on half the points and this and that. I think I could hide the best on the tennis team if I'm just playing like third doubles. You're only playing one set, then you go sit down and watch everybody else. Hide
once
me
again,
on the tennis team.
Once again, you're making declarations. And I feel...
You get Brad Dancer in here like, hey,
we're
going
to have to talk
that.
About
we're gonna
this.
We're going to do an alumni match. We'll see you play doubles. Oh, yeah. Man, you should see my serve.
We're already we already have to make see if you can long jump 10 feet. Then we'll move on to whether or not you could play doubles at the Division I level.
I'm going to tell you why I could do it, and this will be very quick. In a JV match as a freshman in high school, playing tennis, a doubles match, my friend Jeff.
Oh, in high school you played tennis. Mm-hmm. Well, that changes everything.
Mm-hmm. In the JV match, and this is why I'm saying you can hide a terrible player, I double faulted 6 times in one game, and we still won the game. Okay?
Okay.
So, double fault, then I get a serve in, Jeff wins the point for us as doubles. You know, then I double fault, Jeff wins the point, double fault, Jeff wins the point. We just kept doing that over and over. It would be deuce, I double fault, add out, opponent's about to win, we win the point, back to deuce, this and that. 6 times I double fault, and then I finally was able to get 2 serves in on both sides, and we won the game. So yes, you can hide a liability. Look, they couldn't hide Ryan Gosling in Remember the Titans. Total liability at corner. They had to put in Petey, okay? You can hide me on the tennis team. And still, I could double fault 6 times and still win as long as my partner's really good.
Often wrong, never in doubt.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Thankfully, Illinois does not have either of us in a uniform, and tomorrow we will not be in uniform when they take on VCU. When we return for the next episode, we'll be breaking down both Illinois men's second round game and the women's first round game against Colorado.
And if their Monday game is early-ish, we might be even like recording during their second round game.
Oh, live reaction.
Yes, we'll have to see.
Thanks to our producer today, Sean Mills, for helping us out here on Light the Eye. Thanks to you for listening, for liking, subscribing, and leaving reviews. If you got any comments, you can drop them below. Your thoughts on this game or anything else, you can always email us, lighttheeyepodcast@gmail.com. lighttheeyepodcast@gmail.com. Robert, let's do it again next time.
Yeah, let's do this like 6 times. How about it?
All right. Light the Eye.